Shirley. Shirley, would you sing one for us?
I'll try this Scars in the Hands of Jesus. You pray for me. I don't know if I can remember the words. It's been a while.
Enjoyed that good song? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of John, chapter 3. We thank God for the good singing. While you're turning there, I'd like to encourage you to be here for Sunday school next Sunday morning. I guess we had 50 or 60 come in between Sunday school and preaching this morning. And I will invite you to be here with us in Sunday school. I mean, I know we ain't much, but surely we ain't that bad. And so I believe you could come, and I believe you'd enjoy it. And I believe you'd be blessed for it, and there's a class for you. And so once again, I say, please be here. The Lord will bless you for it. I guarantee you, you'll be the one that profits by it. And if you don't come, you'll be the one that suffers because of it. So be here at the Center Sunday School next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Look at John chapter 3 this morning. I read recently, I guess not long ago, the scripture of Jesus and Nicodemus, and told you about how that you must be born again, and how that Jesus was carrying on this conversation with Nicodemus. And in this scripture this morning, Jesus said these verses, and it became the greatest chapter and the best loved chapter in the Word of God, or one of the greatest. And in this chapter is the best known, probably, verse of Scripture in the whole world. And that, of course, is verse 16 of John chapter 3. Well, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I guarantee you that verse has probably been quoted by more little children and more preachers and more Sunday school teachers and been loved and sung and printed up on bulletins and on tracts and on cards. Why, there's no telling how many millions and millions of times and hundreds of different languages that verse has been spread across this planet. There ain't no telling how many hardened criminals and hardened sinners have read that verse, and something happened inside of them and they just changed, and just because of these few words in John 3:16, had their life literally changed for the rest of their life and for all eternity. But I want to try by the help of the Lord, and I know it's something that's impossible to do, but I want to try by the help of the Lord this morning to preach from this scripture, John chapter 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved this world." I thought about bringing you a revival thought this morning, but I believe we've had enough revival thoughts for the while. I believe we know what we ought to be doing, why we ought to be doing. I believe we know where God wants us. And I'd like for us to focus our attention a little bit different direction this morning. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I want to talk to you this morning on John 3, verse 16. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for this privilege and opportunity that we have once again to bow our knees and our heads and our hearts before Thee and call Thee our Father. Thanking You, Lord, for every expression of Your love and concern for us. Thanking You, Lord, for the good days that You've given us this day. Thank You, Lord, for the beautiful weather. Lord, for the health and strength. For a church building that You've given us to come to. Lord, for our Bibles that You've given us to read. Thank You, Lord, for this verse this morning. That's meant so much to so many. And Lord, I thank You this morning that it's real. It's about a living Savior that loved us and gave Himself for us. Now I pray, our Father, that You'd give us wisdom from the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, that You'd give us strength and wisdom to rightly divide the word of truth, that You'd anoint us with power from on high, that we may be able to preach Thy word this morning without fear, favor, or compromise. I ask You, dear Lord God, this morning, that the Holy Spirit of the living God may move on this service, and I pray a special prayer for that one of those that's in our midst who's not saved, not ready to meet Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name that You touch that heart this morning, that they might be saved before it's too late. Whatever You do for us, we'll praise You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. We're asking You to help us, Lord. Amen and amen. I want you to hold your place there just a minute and look at John 3 and verse 16. We want to try to preach to you and bring you a message from this greatest verse. I guess outside of Psalm 23, maybe Psalm 100, this is the most well-known scripture anywhere in the Word of God. Now, I've told you before, I believe, about a certain preacher. And this preacher, after God called him to preach, he just fell in love with this verse. And he said that the first time he ever got up to preach, he said, "Folks, I want you to open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 3 and verse 16. And the people opened the Bible to John 3:16, and he preached from this scripture. And the next time he got an opportunity to preach, he stood up and he said, "Folks, today I'd like for you to open your Bibles to John chapter 3 and verse 16. And he preached it again. And then he said, it wasn't too long after that till he got another opportunity to preach. And he said, folks, this morning I'd like for you to open your Bibles to John chapter 3 and look at verse 16. And he kept preaching it and kept preaching it and kept preaching it. And brother, every time he got up to preach, he'd say, turn to John 3 and verse 16. And always preach on this scripture. And it was said of that preacher that he preached that scripture from the time he started his ministry till the time when God finally called him home. Every time he got up, he preached on John 3 and verse 16. Well, I'll tell you what, this morning, I don't have a thing in the world against that. I mean, brother, there's not a greater verse. There's not a greater message. I mean, that's a message this world needs to hear, friend, that God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I know the whole subject this morning is love. I mean, God's whole being is turned about in love. The Bible says that God is love, and he that loveth not knoweth not God. And so this morning, it all centers around God's love. Every bit of it, the reason you and me are here this morning is because of God's love for us. The reason you and I are saved this morning, the reason Jesus spoke this verse that God gave his only begotten Son is because of God's love. The reason Jesus died on the cross is because of God's love. The reason you and I don't have to go to hell this morning is because of God's love. The reason you and I have our names in the book of life and that we're going to heaven to be with Jesus is all because of God's love. And so this morning we'll be talking about the love of God from John 3 and verse 16. What I'd like for us to do this morning by the help of the Lord is divide this little verse up into seven different parts. We're going to take this verse this morning, and you might want to mark these with your pen and divide it up into seven different parts. The greatest verse in the Bible divided into seven parts. I believe that's the best way that I know of that I could describe it to you this morning. First of all, this morning, we want to look at the first two words, for God. Have you ever looked at those two words? The first two words in John 3:16, for God this morning gives the source of all love. That's where the source of love is, brother, is from God. I mean, you say, well, Brother Danny, how are you going to preach a whole sermon on just one verse? Did you know this morning you can take them first two words, for God, and just preach from now on just for God? I mean, God's a big subject, brother. I mean, you can preach all day and never tell the whole story of God. I heard of a guy one time said he was going to preach on God and the universe and other things. There ain't nothing else, friend. I mean, you preach on God, that's a mighty big subject. A guy could preach this morning, tonight, and every night this week, and every night the rest of his life, and still never tell all there is to tell about God. Have you ever thought about what a big subject God is? Have you ever tried to let it dawn in your mind just who God is and what God is and, brother, just how vast and how wonderful that God really is? I believe this morning that God is a great subject. I believe that the Bible gives us the source of all love when it says, for God. Did you know this morning that God Almighty is the source of all love? There is no such thing as having love apart from God. I know this world this morning, they've got an old sloppy, slushy, lusty, wicked, sensual idea of love this morning. And they have these old songs like, Can I Love You Tonight? And I Want to Love You and I Love Her. That ain't love. That's lust. The world never has been able to get the difference. But I want you to know this morning that unless God's in it, there ain't no love. You don't even know what real love is without God. I mean, God is the source of love. God is the source of every bit of love. The Bible says, he that knoweth not God doesn't have love. He that loveth not knoweth not God. So this morning, for God gives us the source of love. God is a supreme being. He's a sovereign being. And he has a creator.
creation. And one of His attributes is love. God is a God of love this morning. I tell you, I preach Him on hell. I preach on God's wrath. I preach on God's hatred for sin. But I want you to know above all that this morning, God is a God of love. If God hadn't loved me, I'd have still been out trundling my sins this morning. If God hadn't looked down one day and saw an 18-year-old boy living in sin and walking in the ways of this world, and He hadn't said, I love that boy, I'd have still been morning with my life wrecked and ruined. Did you know what this world needs this morning? This world needs the love of God. But I want you to know, Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have my love, if you have love one for another. Do you know what this world needs from us as a church? This world needs to see God's love in us. And when people come to our church, I don't want them to go away saying, boy, they sure got a big crowd. I don't want them to go saying, boy, I tell you, that sure is a pretty ceiling. I don't want them to go away saying, boy, them's nice windows, or that's a nice piano, or the choir sounds good, or the preacher shook my hand. I want them to go away saying, there's one thing about that crowd up there, there's one thing about that church, you could feel God's love coming through them. That is the number one sign of people being right with God, is when they show love, brother. And I tell you, we even need a revival. I need a revival of God's love in my heart. You need a revival of God's love in your heart. For God is a source of all love, and you can't love without God. And just as sure as a Christian gets an old sour spirit and an old hateful, bitter spirit, you can tell one thing, they done got away from God. Because, brother, when a man's close to God or a woman's close to God, they'll stand true. It don't mean you're supposed to put your approval on sin. It don't mean you're supposed to pat sin on the back. It don't mean you're supposed to give in to the devil. But I want you to know, brother, through it all, you'll stay sweet and full of the love of God. If God is in your heart and He is the source of all love. I want us to look at the second part of this verse this morning. The next two words is so loved. So loved. So loved this morning gives the fact of love. See, for God this morning is the source of all love. So love gives the fact of God's love. I want you to know, my dear friend, He's so loved. The Bible says, for God, that is the source of love. And then it gives a fact, He's so loved. It tells us that God so loved. Have you ever tried to imagine how much love is wrapped up in that little word so? Just a little two-letter word, so. There's a lot of love wrapped up in that little word, so. For God so loved. How much did He love, preacher? He's so loved. Well, how big is God's love, preacher? All it says is just that He's so loved. I mean, He's so loved. It didn't try to measure God's love. It didn't try to put God's love on a scale and say the Lord loved this much or that much. And the Bible just said that God so loved. He's so loved. I mean, brother, there's a lot of love wrapped up in that two little letter word, so. God so loved gives the fact of His love. It is a fact this morning that God does love. I mean, where would you and I be this morning? I stand here in front of you this morning, and I'm looking out over a congregation. Some used to be alcoholics, some drug addicts, some no telling what. And there's people all of that kind of background sitting right here in this church this morning. We've got people who could stand up in this church this morning and could tell you some stuff that about make the hair stand up on your head. Things that they went through and the life that they lived before they got saved. Now, what in the world? What's happened to them? How come they ain't like that no more? How come they're different now? I tell you why, because somebody loved them. Somebody cared about them. I want you to know, my dear friend, love is the most powerful force in the universe. I tell you, love can do what nothing else can do. I mean, you sometimes when you're a kid, you can fuss at them and beat them and whip them and do everything to try to get them to do a certain thing. But I want you to know, love will do more with them, and love will do more with church people. And love will do more with your husband or your wife, and love will do more with your children, and love will do more with your family than anything else you can do. I mean, brother, I mean, a person just can't handle love. Have you ever tried to fight with somebody that wouldn't fight back? I despise to try to argue with somebody and they won't argue back with me. I want somebody to throw in something so I can throw something back at them. But you just can't argue about somebody that won't argue back. I mean, somebody that just said, boy, I tell you, I just don't agree with the way you're doing it. Well, I sure do love you. And they'll say, well, I don't know about this. Me and you just don't see eye to eye on this. And they'll say, well, I know, but I sure love you. How you going to argue with somebody like that? Makes you just want to knock them down, don't it? Say, what's the matter with you? Why don't you fuss a little bit? You see, love wins over all. And did you know that's one thing God won't do? God won't argue with you. And he just says, this is the way it is, and that's it. I mean, you know, if you try to argue with him, he don't pay no attention to you. He just loves you right on through it all. And that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be able to have God's love. God's so love. I mean, God's so love. I mean, God's great, and God is big, and brother, God's so love. I want you to notice what he loved this morning. The next two words, the fifth and sixth words of this scripture, says, for God so loved the world. The world this morning gives the object of God's love. I want you to know, for God gives the source of his love, so love gives the fact of God's love, and the world gives the object of God's love. For God so loved, what did he love, preacher? The Bible says, the world. I'm here to tell you tonight, my dear friend, God's love went out to the whole wide world, to every nation, to every creature under heaven. I mean, to every little black kid, to every little white child, to every little yellow child, and Indian child, and Chinese, and Japanese. God's love reaches out to that individual. For God so loved the world. It gives the object of God's love. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It is because that God loves the world. I want you to know tonight or this morning, we sometimes think that we're privileged characters here in America. Sometimes we think that we're somebody special. Sometimes we think that we're just a little bit above other nations. Sometimes we think God just likes us a little bit better than he does the heathen over in Africa in a foreign country. But let me tell you this morning, my dear friend, God loves that little heathen boy, that little heathen girl over yonder that grew up in a cannibal headhunter bunch and witch doctors. God loves them this morning just as much as he loves me and you. God loves their children just as much as he loves mine and your children. God loves the world. The world is the object of God's love. And I want to say this morning that that cuts out this hyper-Calvinist doctrine. That cuts out this doctrine that says that Jesus only died for a certain few and that God only loved a certain elect. Brother, I want you to know this morning, God loves everybody. God loves everybody. I don't care if they're in the criminal, in the state penitentiary, or if they're on death row. God loves that person just as much as he loves you and me. You remember hearing about that guy in Chicago not long ago that murdered all them 30-something boys and molested them and murdered them, hid them under his house and everything? Why, most people, they would say, man, that guy ought to be shot. And I agree, he ought to. I agree with that myself. But I want you to know this morning that God loves that man in his soul just as much as he loves me, or as much as he loves Billy Graham, or as much as he loves you. God so loved the world. Now, I want you to learn a little lesson right here this morning. There is the difference between God's love and this old sloppy, slushy, filthy kind of love that the world talks about. The world this morning has the idea that love is gimme, 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 gimme. But God's love loves the object, whether the object returns that love or not. There's a difference between God's love. The Bible says sinners will do good to them that do good to them. I mean, sinners, anybody, it's easy to love somebody that loves you. But if you can love somebody that hates you, do you know what God's love is? Anybody can love somebody that pats them on the back. Anybody can love somebody that agrees with them. But if you can love somebody that hates you, and you can love them in spite of them talking about you and treating you like a dog, if you can still love them, then that's what God's love is. God loved you before you ever loved him. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The world this morning is the object of God's love. But I want you to notice the next three words in this verse this morning, part number four. Part one is for God. It gives the source of love. Part two is so love. Gives the fact of His love. Part three is the world. That gives the object of God's love. And then, that He gave. That He gave this morning, part number four, describes the act of God's love. God so loved the world that He done something about it. God so loved the world that He gave. Why did He love the world, preacher? I don't know why He did, but I know that He did. And I know that He did so much that it caused Him to do something about it. The Bible said that it described, that He gave describes the act of His love. Now, brother, God loved so much that He gave. God loved so much that He gave. God loved so much that He gave. For God so loved the world that He gave. God loved the world that He gave. And He gave and He gave and He gave and He gave. That's the act of God's love this morning. You see, God proved His love by giving. God proved His love by what He gave. I want you to know, my dear friend, the Bible said, let us not love in word or in deed, or word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. If a man's got God's love, he won't just go around spouting off his lips about how he loves. He won't just go around saying, I love everybody. There'll be some action behind it. He'll put some action in by to prove that he loves. What if you told your wife, you said, honey, I love you, and you never did nothing to prove it? I mean, you never bought her nothing. You never even spoke to her. And you was real friendly with everybody else's wife and real nice to them and was a real hateful to your own wife. But still, she'd say, well, do you love me? And you'd say, yeah, I love you. It wouldn't be long till she'd begin to doubt whether you did or not, because you never do nothing to prove it. And God proved His love this morning by doing something about it. I mean, brother, He so loved the world that He gave. Now, it is a known fact you can give without loving. A lot of people do that. A lot of people give donations to charity, and they give to this or that, maybe just a bit for a show, or just to get it off their income tax, or something like that. You can give without loving. But let me tell you this morning, you cannot love without giving. You can't do it. If you love, you'll give. That's how come a lot of times we as preachers, we preach to the people to give. Maybe it's some of your time or your money or something. And brother, we say, give it, give it, give it, give it, give it. And brother, you ought to give it. But I want you to know a lot of times you can get people to give their money when really they don't love. But I tell you one thing you can do. You get them to loving, and you get them the love of God in them. You don't have to worry about them giving. They'll give if they got God's love. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And so the word that He gave this morning describes the act of God's love. But not only that, this morning, number five, the next four words of this verse, the Bible says His only begotten Son. Number five this morning describes or presents the gift of His love. I mean, God so loved the world that He gave. What did He give, Brother Danny? The Bible says His only begotten Son. There is the gift of God's love. I want you to know, my dear friend, God looked down and He saw this little sinful world. God looked down and He saw people living in sin. He saw them drinking, the gambling, running around, going wild, and living for the devil. And brother, He loved them. And then the Bible says that He so loved the world that He gave. What did He give? He gave His only begotten Son. I heard a preacher say something the other night that stuck in my heart. He said, a lot of time we get up and we say, and it sounds real good in a poem or a song, we say the Lord searched all over heaven and He was hunting for somebody that would go down and die for mankind and all of that stuff. And we say He looked over here and He looked over there and everything. But you know, really, God knew from the foundation of this world that Jesus was going to die. The Lord knew always that it was going to be Jesus. I mean, He knew when He created this world that He was going to give His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for this world. Now, you want to see what real love is? Do you want a lesson on love this morning? I'll tell you what it is. You ain't going to get it out of true modern romance. You ain't going to get a lesson of love, brother, out of Midnight or Inquirer. Most of that crowd don't know what love's all about. If you want to find out what love is, you pick up the Word of God and you read how much God loved this world, letting His only Son die for it. That is what love is this morning. The old devil's kind of love is old sensual, fleshly, lustful type of love. I mean this love that says, I want what I want, and I want to be satisfied. I don't care what nobody else feels or thinks. That ain't God's love. God's love says, I love this person, I love that individual, and I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to give up. I'm willing to lay down. I'm willing to even let my only son die. That's God's love this morning. I tell you, nobody ever loved like God loved when He let His Son come to die for sinners. Me and you can't even picture how much God really hates sin this morning. I mean, God hates it a million times more than you and me do. And brother, God so loved me and you, and we was in our sins, that He let His only begotten Son come into this world. Have you ever realized what a sacrifice that was when God let His Son come down here and be stained and marred and walk among sinful men? I want you to know, brother, Jesus, who knew no sin, became our sin. Jesus, who never spoke an evil deed or an evil word or never committed an evil deed, and became he bore our sinful deeds and our evil words because of God gave Him. He gave His only begotten Son. You know, one time the greatest gift that was ever given was a long time ago, about 2,000 years ago, when an angel stepped out on a cloud and used a cloud for His pulpit and got His training in His throne room of God and got His training in His message at the throne of God, and He stepped out on a little Judean hillside to a group of shepherds surrounded, keeping watch over their flock by night, and the angel preached a message unto you: this day in the city of David is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That was the greatest gift that was ever given. He said, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's come to pass. And the shepherds followed that star, and they went to see the star, and they followed it, and they followed it, and they followed it, and followed it, and it went right over Bethlehem, and they went into the little manger, and they said, we've come to see Him, and we've come to see God's gift to this world. And brothers, I lay Him in a little manger in humble dwelling with just a little straw and the cattle and sheep around, and Mary and Joseph there wrapped up in swaddling clothes. Was brother the greatest gift that's ever been given? I mean, it was God's darling baby son. It was God's son. They're right there in that manger that morning. Where's the proof that God loved me and you? That was the proof that God so loved this world that He let His Son become a little baby clothed in the likeness of sinful flesh. I want you to know, my dear friend, Jesus, who was before Abraham, was born 2,000 years after Abraham. Jesus, who said, brother, I've created this world, I'm the light of the world, became a little babe in a manger and grew up like a normal human being. That was the fact that God loved us. That was the act that God loves us. And that was a gift of God's love when He gave His Son. Amen.